From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel, reporting this week from the Middle East. Last week, in front of the Palestinian Legislative Council building, a protest. The protesters say they are among the 500 Gazans who work in a Palestinian Authority-sponsored temporary trainee plan. They have full-time jobs at less than full pay. It started out as something temporary, but now they say it has dragged on for years, and they have low salaries and no rights as employees. A cook shows me his hand, minus a fingertip he lost in an accident on the job. He says workers in their situation get no benefit to cover that. The protesters are angry. They are convinced the government has the money to pay for real jobs at full pay. Gazans say you get jobs if you have vitamin WOW, the Arabic letter that starts the word for connections. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas is taking steps to reform the administration in Gaza. But he is of a generation that's associated not only with leadership of the Palestinian national cause, but also with cronyism and patronage. Cleaning up Palestinian government is a special challenge for the next generation of Palestinian leaders, people they call the Young Guard. Two of them, both with American university degrees, shared their views of the future with me in Gaza. Political scientist Ziad Abu Amr is an independent member of the Palestinian Legislative Council. He moved from the West Bank to run from Gaza, where he was a big vote-getter. I asked him about the protest and the widespread belief that getting ahead depends not on what you know, but whom you know.
Of course, this is not peculiar to Gaza. You find it in every third world country: nepotism, favoritism, administrative corruption, financial corruption. But of course, we are primarily concerned about our own situation. And this is what we have been trying from the very start, trying to avoid, to establish the rule of law, to observe the principles of accountability and transparency, to give equal opportunity to everyone, to have the right person in the right place. These are very beautiful slogans we have been raising all along. But there is also a major discrepancy between what the people want and what governments do, especially when you have a government that is not accountable. And that's why we believe that elections, democratic, free, routine and periodic elections are extremely important, because this is a one sure way for exercising accountability and reform. And that's why I think we were excited that the election cycle has been resumed.
Is the Palestinian Authority in a position now to help people? That is, does it have any money, for example?
I think the Palestinian Authority has always been in a position to help people. The Palestinian Authority has been most of the time and mainly inefficient and suffering from administrative and financial corruption. If the Palestinian Authority was a good government, they would have been able to mend fences and to direct their resources in a more efficient way. I think it's lack of experience, it's partly inefficiency, corruption, selfishness, you name it. But I think if people trust the authority, they will be happy with whatever little they get from the authority. If they know that they are sharing poverty, and there is no differential treatment here, there's a sense of bitterness that there is no equal treatment of citizens in this society, and that those people on the top are selfish and they are, you know, putting their personal interests ahead of the interests of the public. And that reality is true, that there is a great deal of inefficiency, corruption in the Palestinian Authority.
While Ziad Abu Amr is independent of the dominant Fatah movement and very critical of it, Jihad Wazir is a second-generation Fatah official. Wazir's widowed mother was just dropped from the Palestinian cabinet, a significant blow to a venerated old-timer. But he is signing on as the new deputy minister of finance. Jihad Wazir says that for all its faults, the Palestinian Authority, the PA, organized a model election and a smooth transition after Yasser Arafat's death.
It just goes to show that the reputation of the PA before was greatly exaggerated, that there were institutions that maybe they were not working as well as they should have been, but at least these institutions were successful in really doing a peaceful transformation and transition of authority.
Well, you're a member of a younger generation here in Gaza. There are also in the West Bank, which we, you know, we think of very, very broadly as the young guard of the Palestinian movement. What's different about your generation?
Well, the generation that grew up under occupation. Surprisingly, it's a very democratic generation in the sense that even though the Israelis are occupying us, but they did not interfere internally too much in the workings of the Palestinian society. So because we didn't have national elections, everything turned into local politics, party elections, student union, medical union, women's union, youth unions, committees, whatever. And there was a tradition of change within these organizations, within these institutions.
You mean turnover?
Turnover, yes.
Leadership would come and go.
Yes, and that really instilled a sense of freedom in spite of the occupation. Even when they were imprisoned in Israeli jails, there were elections inside the jails who would be a leader. As small as if they're in a room, there are, you know, 10, 6 people in a jail cell. They would elect somebody to lead that room.
Just a few hours before we sat down, I saw a protest outside the Legislative Council building. People who've had temporary special social case job placements. They didn't have work, so they were given low-paying spots that weren't real jobs, but at least they got something. Now they're saying, we've been in these jobs for years. We want real pay, and the authority has the money, and they should be able to pay us. As somebody in the finance ministry, what do you say? Do you say, yes, we should provide the jobs, or no, that would be profligate for us to do that?
If you look at the number in terms, for example, people who lost their jobs since 2000, there was a World Bank study that said you would, on average, per month, you need $150 million to cover for that unemployment benefits or unemployment payment for these people. What we got all, for example, on average every year, roughly around $150-$200 million over the whole period of the past 4 years in job creation programs. What is needed is for the Palestinians to be able to go back to work jobs in Israel, because it's going to take us a long time to build the capacity and to build the industrial zones or whatever that would really become competitive, you know. Even if you build an industrial zone now, it will go online in 2009. So what is needed is for us a period where we can regenerate and rebuild our institutions.
Jihad Wazir is Deputy Minister of Finance of the Palestinian National Authority. We also heard from Ziad Abu Amr, an independent member of the Palestinian National Council. Both are members of a generation that's often called the Palestinian Young Guard.
Our special Middle East coverage continues at our website. You'll find maps, bios, and more stories from the region at npr.org.